Praise God for the resurrection of Jesus, for he brings eternal life to a world that thought death was the last stop. He is risen, and in his rising, he brings us to his new creation. Yes, the tomb is empty, and that is just too good to celebrate on one Sunday. It is more than one event. The life gate is open to those who believe and live in ways that identify with the risen one, Jesus. Whether we are new to faith or well-traveled on this journey, the resurrection is our cue to now live in light of God's promise made true in Jesus. God loves us, took it to the cross, defeated death, and the truth is what we have now in an empty tomb. With all of this being so great, now we respond with our lives. This is the second segment of our sermon series through Colossians as we consider how the resurrection inspires us to tend our life. One of the first places where people gathered to practice living in the way of the resurrection of Jesus was a place called Colossae. We're not exactly sure who started this band of believers, the Colossians. There's a reference to someone called Epaphras in the first chapter. Maybe he was the go-getter who started the Christian way of life there. Timothy is also interacting with this community along the way. But whoever brought them the gospel affirmed them, encouraged them, and taught them to tend their spiritual lives well, taught them how to live like Jesus. But life in Colossae wasn't without a few kinks. In Colossae, the faith community was surrounded by those who were not living in healthy ways. They were wasteful and gluttonous. They were unwholesome in their relationships. Abuse and reckless living ran amok. The missionary apostle Paul does not know this community, but receives word about the Colossians. He praises them and prays for them because of their faith and addresses a few concerns. So Paul writes, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ." Now, I'll take a crack at this. I'm thinking philosophy, empty deceit, human tradition, elemental spirits of the universe. Paul, if he were writing to Colossae today, I think he might say, and this is the Jenny paraphrase, "Don't get captivated by everything you read on the internet. And not everyone can be trusted who tweets at the drop of a hat. Some like to exclude others, saying, 'That's not the tradition around here,' and end up creating secret handshakes and some system of reward cards to get in the circles of Christianity. These are not according to the ways of Jesus. We must be careful not to be taken in by our surroundings." So Paul's words are saying, "Hey, don't forget what got you here in the first place." Paul is most concerned that this fresh but confused band of believers began to question the truth of Jesus, whether Jesus was adequate for salvation. In case you might be questioning this, I'm here to repeat what Paul says. Jesus is all we need. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is supreme. For in the first chapter, he says Jesus is the Son of the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is it. What about us? Does the gospel of Jesus have to fight for the place of being true in us? Do our lives reflect that which we say is true? Is Jesus supreme? Too many are taken in by the wide destructive information highway, taken in by the opinions of empty egos, taken in by sensation and the latest breaking bottom line ticker tidbits. It is for us to move our eyes away from the world and savor the good news we have in Christ Jesus, to tend to our life, a life that God in Jesus Christ has made new. Tend the life you are born again to live. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Eyes on Jesus. Like our world, the Colossae world was a mix of good and evil. They, like us, found the ground of faith shaking at times. But Paul reminds them and us to be rooted. Look to the root of faith. When we talk about roots, we may think of our growing up. I love to hear growing up stories. Everybody's growing up story. I love it. When I drive up Route 11 from Carlisle up through over to Shippensburg, I look across that great valley and I see my roots. Sometimes I smell them too. I love that valley. The core of who you are has much to do with how we live. Being rooted is also a path that leads to purpose. So it's not just about remember where you came from. In essence, that's what you're really doing, right? When you're rooted, you're also considering where you're headed. A path that leads to purpose. I have found in my life that engaging in a purpose can be good, and such work can lead us more deeply to a specific purpose. Being rooted in God, is God helping you unearth a specific purpose? God created this world, and after every stanza of the creation story in Genesis, God said, "It is good." In light of the resurrection, God isn't going to leave us high and dry. No, Jesus is the new creation. Are you saying, Jenny, that God's kind of starting over? I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, because that's what Paul is saying. Jesus is the new creation, and now we grow roots in him, and by this rootedness, God unearths our purpose. When we tend our life in Christ, God unearths purpose. When I tend to my life in Christ, reading devotions, praying, God unearths themes for sermons. I tend to have a little notebook or a little moleskin. I write down what I think God is unearthing. I come back and I pray about it. I'm like, no, I must have had too much coffee or something. But I realize that when I tend to my life, when I am prayerfully seeking God through God's word and through prayer and through journaling, God is unearthing purpose. Yesterday, Salem was out and about in the community for the community service day. And we had a request to remove some low cement bricks that were cemented together around a few trees. And you can see that the tree grew and kind of overcame these decorative walls that you see in the picture. Now, I find this something that we can relate to in our scripture. For what we think is a landscaping foible is also just a healthy root. We want healthy spiritual roots. Roots that continue to thrive. We want roots that reach deeply under the surface of our lives in search for what gives nourishment. That old tree grew by reaching and stretching, which is its natural quest. And by that, it didn't remain the same. Its landscape changed. These decorative bricks were no longer serving a purpose. In fact, they were pushed out by what is greater. Now think about that in terms of your roots. You're stretching out, being nourished, going and growing deep. And what emerges, it pushes other things out by that which is greater. We could take a microphone, or we could just sit in a large circle and begin to share and fill the day till the sun goes down, listening to one another tell where our roots of faith began in us. Now think about that, how deeply and richly blessed we'd be to take time to hear us tell one another the stories of Jesus in our lives and how we've been changed and blessed by our roots growing deeply in him. Is that not a form of how we tend our life? Listening and telling each other, showing our rootedness. May we be rooted like a tree, built up, secure, with an established faith. Our lives in God must not be rooted, and that's it, just kind of stationary. Being rooted also means we're a little dynamic, a little more dynamic on the top side, right? And I don't mean by dynamic, I don't mean we all have this wow factor. By dynamic, I mean the way that when tended lives are planted and rooted, they stretch for ways that can grow, for what is nourishing, for what is better for life, if not survival. What about your roots? Are they showing? Busting out once in a while? What would you tell others about your roots of faith? Have we thought lately about our beginnings? Do we see deeper places that we can grow to find nourishment? In Him, Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you, Paul says, have come to fullness in Him. That bodiliness that Paul is talking about, it pours over into the body of Christ. God embodied fully in Jesus, and it doesn't stop there, for we, His followers, rooted and built up, reveal the same embodied fullness through Christ. Now that might sound real highfalutin, but let me give you a simple example. During joys and concerns time, and this happens more than once, but it happened most recently, that someone among us was touched to the heart by how Salem had cared for them, had taken time to communicate and to remain in touch with them, even though they were not here for a spell. That is the love of Christ embodied. That is the fullness of Christ shared in the body of Christ. We cannot take that for granted, that we embody Christ and someone takes notice and gives witness to those roots, to that steadiness. I mean, talk about steady and established faith. Talk about being rooted and building up. When people report back in the spirit of worship, they're reporting back what they have witnessed as a building up of nourishment they have received. This is a purpose brought forth to everyone. So a purpose is not just individual. A purpose in God is individual. It can be a purpose collective. And I think sharing time, or those joys and concerns in that prayerful time, is when we most see that sometimes here. And when it bursts out, it is a witness. For Christ is risen out of the depths, who brings us along in His rising. Tend our life begins in the one Jesus. There is no root without Him. There is no growth without Him. Oh, church, how you show your rootedness, how we build up to show the fullness of Christ. When we tend our life, rooted in Christ, built up in Him, purpose will break forth. For He who is the fullness of God broke through death and unearthed in us new life. Praise God for a life to tend. May our roots remind us of the supreme guide of our life and what is truth, the ultimate source of spiritual growth and nourishment, the root of everything we would ever need. Jesus.